ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयो मुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नष्टकी। सो रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 13 चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड द बिहेवियर ऑफ ए परफेक्ट पर्सन टेक्स्ट नंबर 31। आध्यात्मिका दिवीर दुखे अभिमुक्तस्य करिचित् मर्तस्य कृच्छ्रपानयते अर्थे कामै क्रियेत किम्। आध्यात्मिका दिवीर दुखे अभिमुक्तस्य करिचित् मर्तस्य कृच्छ्रपानयते अर्थै कामै क्रियेत किम्। आध्यात्मिका दिवीर दुखै अभिमुक्तस्य करिचित् मर्तस्य कृच्छ्रपानयते अर्थै कामै क्रियेत किम्। आध्यात्मिका आदिभिः आध्यात्मिक आदिदैविक अनादिभौतिक दुखे बाय द थ्री फोल्ड मिजरीज ऑफ मेटेरियल लाइफ अभिमुक्तस्य ऑफ वन हु इज नॉट फ्रीड फ्रॉम सच मिजरेबल कंडीशंस और वन हु इज सब्जेक्ट टू बर्थ डेथ ओल्ड एज एंड डिजीज करिचेत समटाइम्स मर्तस्य ऑफ द लिविंग एंटिटी सब्जेक्टेड टू डेथ कृच्छ्र उपनतै थिंग्स ऑब्टेन बिकॉज ऑफ सिवियर मिजरीज अर्थै इवन इफ सम बेनिफिट इज डिराइव्ड कामै which can fulfill one's material desires. Kriyate, what do they do? Kim, and what is the value of such happiness? Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Material activities are always mixed with three kinds of miserable conditions, adhyatmika, adhidaivika, and adhibhautika. Therefore, even if one achieves some success by performing such activities, what is the benefit of this success? One is still subjected to birth, death, old age and disease and the reactions of his fruitive activities. Please repeat. Materialistic activities are always mixed with three kinds of miserable conditions. Adhyatmika, Adidaivika and Adibhautika. Therefore, even if one achieves some success by performing such activities, what is the benefit of this success? One is still subjected to birth, death, old age, disease and the reactions of his fruitive activities. Purport. According to the materialistic way of life, if a poor man, after laboring very, very hard, gets some material profit at the end of his life, he is considered a success, even though he again dies while suffering the threefold miseries, adhyatmika, adhidaivika and adhibhautika. No one can escape the threefold miseries of materialistic life, namely miseries pertaining to the body and mind, miseries pertaining to the difficulties imposed by society, community, nation and other living entities, and miseries inflicted upon us by natural disturbances from earthquakes, famines, droughts, floods, epidemics and so on. If one works very hard, suffering the threefold miseries, and then is successful in getting some small benefit, what is the value of this benefit? Besides that, even if a karmi is successful in accumulating some material wealth, he still cannot enjoy it, for he must die in bereavement. I have even seen a dying man begging a medical attendant to increase his life by 4 years so that he could complete his material plans. Of course, the medical man was unsuccessful in expanding the life of the man, who therefore died in great bereavement. Everyone must die in this way, and after one's mental condition is taken into account by the laws of material nature, he is given another chance to fulfill his desires in a different body. Material plans for material happiness have no value, but under the spell of the illusory energy, we consider them extremely valuable. Therefore, there were many politicians, social reformers and philosophers who died very miserably without deriving any practical value from their material plans. Therefore, a sane and sensible man never desires to work hard under the conditions of threefold miseries, only to die in disappointment. Mukam kurati bachalam pangul langhayate gring jatkripatam ham mande sri guru dinatarinam paramananda madhavam sri chaitanyeshwaram namo krishna padaye krishna. So first of all, I like to take the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas and especially the senior devotees in Krishna Balaram temple. So I am very unqualified to speak on Srimad Bhagavatam, especially in the land of Vrindavan and in front of the deities of Krishna Balaram, Radha Samsundar and Gaur Nithai, personally insulted by Srila Prabhupada. Still, I will try to speak something for my purification and as a service to Srimad Bhagavatam and to all the assembled Vaishnavas. So, 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is very, very important. Actually, every canto is important. But 7th canto is especially important because it talks about Prahlad Maharaj. And Mahaprabhu, while he was in Jagannath Puri, he used to go to Totagopinath temple and he used to hear Srimad Bhagavatam from Gadadhar Pandit. And Gadadhar Pandit used to ask Mahaprabhu, which topic you want to hear today? And Mahaprabhu was very eager to hear from the story or episodes of Prahlad Maharaj and Dhruva Maharaj. Why is that? Because both Dhruva Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj is child. And whatever a child does is very attractive. Attracts the attention of people, right? So, and when child does devotional service in such a detached way and surrendered way, it attracts the attention of the whole world. So therefore, 7th canto, which depicts the life of Prahlad Maharaj, is very, very important for all of us. And this chapter is also entitled The Behavior of a Perfect Person. We know that everything in this world is imperfect. So perfect person in an imperfect world. And that is depicted in the perfect literature, Srimad Bhagavatam. But this section talks about a very basic principle of our spiritual life. But that is coming from the mouth of the Brahmana, who has the realized soul. And Prabhupada said that unless we are very clear about the fundamental principles of spiritual life, It is very, very difficult to understand the advanced topic of Krishna consciousness. Just like in mathematics, we used to learn basic formula. A plus B whole square is equal to A square plus 2AB plus B square. Everybody knows who are in from mathematics. It's a basic formula. But if you don't know this, you cannot solve any problem of algebra in mathematics. In the same way, if these basic principles are not clear to us, we may talk about 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the bhava of Vrindavan, nothing will sustain or nothing will have any effect in our life if these basic things are not clear. So therefore in 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in Rasa Lila purport also Prabhupada talks about we are not this body. Right? Because unless we have that realization, 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam cannot derive any benefit in our life, rather opposite will happen in our life. So therefore understanding this basic principle is very, very important. And Prabhupada said, first canto, seventh canto, tenth canto, every canto is same. And creation of the Lord and Raslila of the Lord is the same in the absolute platform. Just like when you do bhakti, we think, oh, chanting the holy name is bhakti. Hearing Srimad Bhagavatam is bhakti. But when you start constructing, doing some other things, we feel, oh, why you are doing all this? So one Prabhupada disciple, he was developing Mayapur project early days. He was a sannyasi and he was building lotus building. And he wrote to Prabhupada, Prabhupada, I am a sannyasi, I am supposed to read Srimad Bhagavatam, talk about Srimad Bhagavatam, but whole day I am spending on building lotus building. So he thought that he will get some compassionate answer from Srila Prabhupada. But Prabhupada wrote back, he said, how come you are distinguishing between my books and my building? My building and my book is the same. So building my building is equivalent to study my books. Maybe it will be very good for many of us, it's very good. Because reading Srimad Bhagavatam is very difficult if you don't have taste. But Prabhupada is talking from an absolute platform. From the absolute platform, devotional service is based on Sambandha Gyan. If you don't have Sambandha Gyan, even if you chant, that will not become devotional service. Just like two kinds of bhaktis are there, Sarup Siddha Bhakti and Arup Siddha Bhakti. Sarup Siddha Bhakti means by constitution is bhakti. Just like chanting of the holy name, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, serving the Vaishnavas, offering arati to the lordships. These are by constitution bhakti. But this is called Sarup Siddha Bhakti. But there are other kinds of bhakti which are called Arup Siddha. Just like cooking, plucking flowers, building buildings. These are not bhakti by itself. When you cook for the Lord, then is bhakti. Cooking is not bhakti. But when you cook for the Lord, then is bhakti. Building, constructing building is not bhakti. But when you construct temple, is bhakti. It's called Sambandha Gyan, Arup Siddha. But at a sadhaka level, we have to do both. But at the absolute platform, there is no difference between Arup Siddha and Sarup Siddha Bhakti. But at the sadhaka level, we have differences. That's why Prabhupada said, we have to do sadhana and seva. If you only do sadhana, you'll become lazy. If you only do seva, you become crazy. And Prabhupada said, ISKCON is not meant for lazy and crazy people. So you should have a balanced life. And as a sadhaka, we should have a balanced life. And Prabhupada gave a system. Morning and evening for sadhana, whole day seva. And if you have that balanced life, then we progress very systematically in our spiritual life. So coming to the verse, this verse talks about miseries of this material world. And is talking about insignificance or no value of fruitive activities. Why? He is giving two reasons. We all want to be happy. Anandamaya Ubhasat, each living entity by nature is pleasure seeking. We all seek pleasure. And everybody is doing their life, different activities only to get pleasure. Animals are doing, human beings are doing, devotees are doing, everybody is doing for the same reason, same purpose. Because by nature we are part and parcel of the Supreme Lord who is full of pleasure. But why fruitive activities are condemned? In this verse, two reasons are given. Very interesting reason. While you are conducting the activity, you suffer. And at the end, even if you become so-called successful man, you also suffer. So result is full of suffering. And during the time of conducting the activities, you have to go through suffering. When we conduct fruitive activities, we are going through Adi Bhautika, Adi Daivika and Adhyatmika classes. And at the end, Prabhupada says, and the translation also says, even if you become successful, and what is the use of that success? Because at the end you have to die. You cannot escape the cycle of birth, death, old age and disease. The future is also not so pleasurable. It's full of suffering. Because cycle of birth, death, old age and disease is full of suffering. So while we are conducting our activities, we are going through suffering. And at the end also, there is no end, the cycle. The cycle also continues with suffering. And even after knowing that, if we indulge in fruitive activities, that means we are fools, not intelligent. That's why Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Jai samasparsaja bhoga dukha jana evate adyanta banta kante natesu ramate buddha. Krishna says that miseries take birth at a particular place. Everything has a place of birth. Just like Krishna appeared in Vrindavan. So miseries also appear in some place. And Krishna says that in Bhagavad Gita, where miseries appear. Miseries appear at a place where senses and sense objects are united. Jai samasparsaja bhoga dukha jana evate. Where miseries appear, where senses or sense objects are united. It is completely opposite to the modern concept of happiness. The modern concept of happiness and pleasure is, when senses or sense objects are united, we derive pleasure. That's why people are earning a lot of money. Mad after money. Why? They think if we earn money, we can accumulate sense objects. And by accumulating sense objects, we can derive pleasure. Because we have the concept, by contacting the sense object with the senses, we get pleasures. But Krishna is telling completely opposite. Where the senses and sense objects are united, miseries appear. And that is called foolishness. But who is intelligent? Krishna talks about that in the next line. He says, adyanta banta kanteya nateshu ramate buddha. Who is intelligent? Who do not try to derive pleasure by uniting the senses with the sense objects. That is called intelligence. So Krishna is very, very clear, and same point has been explained here in a different way, that an intelligent person will never try to be happy by performing fruitive activities. Because activities itself during our conduct give pain and miseries. And at the end of this activity, even if we get so-called happiness, so-called success or failure, we also go through pain and suffering in the process of birth, death, old age and disease. This is the essence of the verse. Then the question may arise that we are sadhakas, we are practicing devotees. What will be our outlook? People think, if we come to the process of devotional service, we will not have any miseries. Right? That's why Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Artho Arthati, Gyani Jigyashu. These four kinds of people. Those who are in distress, those who want money, those who are inquisitive, those who are in knowledge. They surrender unto me. But in Kali Yuga, Most of the people come to Krishna or come to the Supreme Personality of Godhead because they are in distress, artha. Because material condition in Kali Yuga has the climax, right? Distress, most distress. That is Kali Yuga. We are too much distressed. And in Kali Yuga, this verse also got changed. Not artha or thirti gyani jigya. So it's called artha, 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 and artha. Very less people come, oh, I want to know Krishna. Very less. Most of the people come to the devotional service for relieving their distress. And I know many of the devotees in ISKCON also, they join with that hope that if I come to Krishna, my distress or my miseries will go away. I think it is one of the greatest illusions we have. The nature of this world will not change, even if you are pure devotees of the Lord. Nature of this world will continue to be the same. And Prabhupada gives the example of the ocean. Ocean means with full of waves. We cannot, oh, ocean, no wave, means no ocean. Material world without anxiety, without miseries. It's not material world. Material world means dukkhalayam asasadam. Otherwise Gita will change. This material world is full of miseries because it is temporary by nature. This nature cannot be changed. Then what is the future or hope of the devotees? Just like if you ride in a small boat in a turbulent ocean, the boat will sink. Even big boat also sank, like Titanic, it also sank. But the concept is that the boat cannot change the nature of the ocean. But if you are in a very strong boat, that boat cannot be, boat will not be disturbed by the waves of the ocean. But ocean will remain the same. So our goal of life should be to change the boat, not to change the ocean. We are all riding in a boat. So now we take shelter of our material accumulation. That is called very weak boat. But when you take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, that boat is very, very strong boat. And when you take shelter of that boat, we will not be shaken by the miseries or waves of material nature. That is the lesson we should learn. We cannot change the nature of this world, but we can make our choice which kind of boat we will take shelter of. That is very, very important. So most of the people in this world, they take shelter of material security. When the child is born, child takes shelter of the mother, thinking that mother will give the protection. When he grows little older, then faith shifts from mother to father. Generally it happens. And when he grows further and thieves come, dacoits come, antisocials come to the house, he doesn't have faith both in the mother and father. He calls up the police. Because he knows that parents cannot help him. But you know, when he knows further, he knows that also police cannot help because above the police is the political leaders. So they take shelter of the political leaders. But when natural disturbances happen, earthquakes, tsunamis, the minister comes, everything comes when everything is over, right? So they cannot help because caused by the demigods. So they take shelter of the demigods. But when they know further, even the demigods have difficulty because sometimes demons attack the demigods and demigods run away and they take shelter of Vishnu. and they start understanding that ultimate shelter is Vishnu or Krishna. So taking shelter of Krishna is the only way to be unaffected by the waves of material miseries. So there are four kinds of devotees according to the response we have to the miseries of this material nature. At the beginning stage, those who are not so advanced, when we take up the process of Krishna consciousness, when good times happen, good time comes in our life, we thank God. Right? After chanting, someone's son got good job, daughters got married, husband got promotion. Oh, things are working, Prabhu. Holy name is very merciful. Things are happening. We are not able to build a nice house after coming to Krishna consciousness. I have three houses. One in Mayapur, one in Vrindavan, one in Puri, everywhere. Things are happening. It's also one kind of happening, it's true. And when, after some time, because this world is always changing, so after good time, when bad time comes, maybe the husband lost the job, or son is not getting job, daughters is not getting married, problems, more problems. Then they start blaming the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And people come to devotees, Prabhuji, we are practicing the process of Dharma, we are practicing Krishna consciousness, we are suffering. People, those who are not doing that, they are more happy, they don't have problems. We are devotees, we have more problems. What is the point of taking up the process of Krishna consciousness? Right? Devotees talk or not? They talk. So when good time comes, they thank Lord. Bad time comes, blame the Lord. This is very Kanishta platform, very low level of Krishna consciousness. Then, when the devotee advances further, their consciousness also grows further. So they become equal, both in happiness and distress. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that tolerance, we have to tolerate the happiness and distress, summer and winter. And those who stay in Vrindavan, they have to tolerate. I was discussing with one devotee that staying in Vrindavan itself is an austerity. Because you have to go through the heat of the summer and cold of the winter. And if you can tolerate that, then that shows some good quality. So this material nature is also like that. We don't have any other choice than to tolerate. And we should be thankful to the Lord both for happiness and distress. So one man was crossing the river and he was having many friends also, but he did not have any watch to check his time. So one other man, hefty fellow, heavily built, he was sitting next to that man, he had a watch. So that person asks the time, what is the time? As soon as he asks the question, that heavily built guy, he slapped on his face heavily. And he was bewildered, that I asked the time, but he just slapped on my face like that, punch on his face. And heavy punch, could not relate to it. His friends became very angry. He said, no, don't become angry. Let me ask him why he did that to me. So he asked, that my dear gentleman, I asked you a question. So why you responded like that? By hitting me. He said, this is my style of telling time. So, very strange. So the friends became more angry. He said, oh, this is the way you tell time? He said, yes. He said, can you explain? Can you give your purport? Because very difficult to understand. So he said, how many punch you got? He said, only one. So means it's 1 o'clock. So the friends got very upset. But the man was very relieved. He said, I like to thank the Supreme Personality of Godhead for this. He said, why? You got the kick, you got the punch, but you are thanking God. He said, yes. He said, why? He said, I am thanking God that I have asked the time now. If I ask the time 1 hour before, then I would have got more, no? So you should be thankful to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, both in happiness and distress. So you have no other choice. But devotees accept. Acceptance gives divine qualities in our character. And non-acceptance gives bad qualities in our character. Very, very important. When you accept the uncertainties of life, you become pure devotee. Or in material terms, you accept the uncertainty, then you are in adventure. And if you cannot accept the uncertainties of life, you are always in fear. What will happen? What will happen? What will happen? And devotees also ask, Prabhu, what will happen? People are insecure in this world, no? What will happen? I generally tell, Jatasohi Dhubamittur. What will happen? You have taken birth, you will die. That will happen, definitely. It's just a matter of time. Everybody will die. But people are doubtful, what will happen? Death will happen. But who can take that? Those who has the quality of acceptance. We have to accept that miseries will come in our life. We have to accept that old age will come in our life. We have to accept death will come in our life. When you accept, you are in bliss. And when you cannot accept the realities of life, then you are always in anxiety. Devotees are not in anxiety at all. Those who are pure devotees, those who have taken complete shelter. Anxiety reduces to the degree of our surrender. Surrender doesn't mean only singing song of surrender. It has to be practiced within. When calamities come, that is the time of test. Other time, giving philosophy, sitting on the vasasan, singing, is all easy. The real test will come when it will happen in our life. That is very, very important. So Pandavas, so you know that Pitama Bhishma, although he was fighting against Pandavas, he was very soft-hearted to the Pandavas. He didn't want to kill. And Duryodhana also knew that Bhishma will not kill the Pandavas. And that's why Duryodhana always used to poke to enrage Pitama Bhishma. So one day, Duryodhana was talking very badly. And he became very angry. Bhishma became very angry. And he took a vow that I will kill the 5 Pandavas tomorrow. So Krishna got the news. Anxiety. Leader means, if you are a follower, no anxiety. Leader means anxiety. So Krishna was in anxiety. What to do, what to do? Night time, he went to the camp of the Pandavas. They are sleeping very nicely. So he told, you are sleeping nicely, but you don't know what is going to happen tomorrow. He said, what will happen? That Bhishma took a vow to kill all of you. He said, no problem. What's the problem? Anyway, you have to die. So being killed by Pitama Bhishma is glorious. He said, then Krishna said, if you die, then what will happen to my mission? I appeared to establish dharma, and I can establish dharma only through you. If you all die, then what will happen to me? He said, that's your headache. So Krishna left, they slept. That is called surrender. Complete faith in the protection. And Krishna protects also in difficult condition. In every condition of life, Krishna will give pain. But why he gives pain? Because unless we go through the pain, we cannot mature in Krishna consciousness. Just like in order to taste the gold, goldsmith puts the gold into acid. You know that? How to test the gold? So in order to, Krishna also want to test us that we are real gold or not. Otherwise disturbance in the spiritual world also. We are disturbing here. But if you go with that mentality, we will disturb the spiritual world also. So he wants to check that he is pure devotee or not. Like a gold. So he puts that into acid. Acid means suffering. So we all have to suffer. But if you are not devotees, then we will suffer according to our karma. According to the laws of nature, we will suffer. But when you take complete shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we also suffer. But that suffering will be dictated and controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So suffering will not go. But choice is, we'll accept the authority of Krishna or we accept the authority of karma. That is our choice. So when we accept the authority of Krishna, we are free from anxiety. And when we accept the authority of karma, we are always in anxiety. That is the difference. So see another peculiar condition in devotee's life. Devotees also have some fight always, no? Not sometimes. Hota hai. Sometimes it happens. It happened also during Pandava's life. So once, Karna was fighting very vigorously and he defeated Yudhishthira Maharaj. And Yudhishthira Maharaj was about to be killed by Karna. So Yudhishthira Maharaj left the battlefield and came to his camp. And Arjuna got the news that Yudhishthira Maharaj was heavily injured, badly injured. So he came to see Yudhishthira Maharaj. How is he? As soon as Yudhishthira Maharaj saw Arjuna, he said, "You have killed Karna?" This is Kshatriya spirit, no? He said, no, I didn't kill Karna. I just came to see you. How are you? He said, "You are a Kshatriya. You are Arjuna. What is the use that you could not kill Karna before coming here? So what is the use of this Gandiva? Give up this Gandiva. Useless Gandiva." So as soon as Arjuna heard that, he took up the sword to kill Yudhishthira Maharaj. Why? This Pandavas have a problem, always they take some vows. So and that puts Krishna into difficulty. So Arjuna took a vow, whoever will tell him to give up Gandiva, he'll kill him. So now Yudhishthira Maharaj has told him to give up the Gandiva bow. So Arjuna has no other choice than to kill Yudhishthira Maharaj. So Arjuna killing Yudhishthira Maharaj, what a turmoil, right? We always talk about problem in life. The greatest, I think one of the most difficult problem Krishna has to face. So Krishna appeared and told Arjuna, wait, I have some alternative. So Krishna has solution for everything. So I have one alternative for that. He said, what is alternative? So he said, you can kill in two ways. You can kill by shooting arrows, but you also kill someone who is respected by disrespecting him, by words. So now you start criticizing Yudhishthira Maharaj. If you criticize Yudhishthira Maharaj, that is equivalent to killing him. So good, no problem. So Arjuna started criticizing, started his Bhagavatam class on criticizing Yudhishthira Maharaj. So after the whole discourse was over, Arjuna thought, what is the use of my life? Dharmaraj Yudhishthira, embodiment of Dharma, and I criticized him like this, then what is the use of my life? I should give up my life. I should commit suicide. Another vow. One problem solved, another problem quickly followed. Said, I want to commit suicide now. So Arjuna said, I have also one alternative for that. So you can commit suicide by killing yourself, but there is another alternative way of committing suicide. What is that? You glorify yourself. According to Vedic civilization, if you glorify yourself, that is equivalent to suicide. And you can understand our social media is the mode of suicide. So what is the use of, we are using social media for what? Glorifying yourself. By that you can understand the degraded civilization we live in. According to Vedic principle, we should not glorify ourselves. Because whatever glorification you make, if you have any good quality, that disappears. Is equivalent to suicide. So Arjuna started glorifying himself. And after the glorification was over, so his suicide is done. So in that way, Krishna managed the whole thing. So Krishna is very, very expert. So you should have faith in Krishna that every situation of life, he will take care of our life. So coming to the original discussion. So first level was, when good time comes, we thank God. When bad time comes, we blame God. Then second level, we become equipoised. We don't blame, we don't thank. We are always in an equipoised condition. Whatever comes in our life, we tolerate and accept it. That is at the platform of mukti. This is the platform of liberation. Then, third level, when we start thanking God for giving miseries. And Brahma prays in 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Who is eligible to enter into the spiritual world? When difficulties come in our life, and in that difficult situation, when we are able to thank the Supreme Personality of Godhead for giving this suffering, he is eligible to enter into the spiritual world. That is the verdict of Srimad Bhagavatam in 10th canto. And I was hearing that chanting is nice, but when devotees are in extreme difficulty, big turmoil in life, and during that time, if the devotees can smile and chant the holy name of the Lord, that is a symptom of a pure devotee. Everything goes okay, nice, chanting, Hari Bol, Hare Krishna Prabhu, is not so interesting for Krishna. Because we are going in an easy life. Easy life means decline. You will only go down in Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness means taking challenge. If you don't take challenge, then we will have an easy and complacent life. Complacency leads to fall down. We cannot be complacent. We are not Mahabhagavat like Haridas Thakur. We can chant all the time. That is also a challenge. Some devotee, oh, I can chant. So one devotee came to Prabhupada. He said, Prabhupada, early days, I have to chant whole day. He said, no problem. So I'll set up a place, I'll send you prasad once in a day. If you chant whole day, means you have some taste, no? So taste in the holy name means your bodily demands will go down. But no, I want 3 times, 4 times prasad, all the time prasad, nice place to stay. But no, it's imbalance. Sadhaka's life should be balanced life. If you don't want to do anything, then also you should not have facilities of life also. Accordingly, bodily demands have to reduce. If you want to chant the whole day, so you should also eat very less. Just like Raghunath Das Goswami. He used to do Hari Bhajan for 22 hours, 30 minutes every day. He used to chant 64 rounds minimum. He used to talk about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for 3 hours. He used to do Govardhan Parikrama every day. And he used to offer obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead 2,000 times. He used to offer obeisances to the devotees, Vaishnava Pranam 3,000 times. And what he used to eat? He never ate. He used to drink. And drink not every day also. Maybe every 2 days or 3 days he used to drink. 1 cup of buttermilk. And that day he used to lament. Why? What kind of lamentation? I have done some sins gratification today. Why? I drank buttermilk. That was the level of Raghunath Das Goswami. And we want to follow him. Very dangerous. We cannot follow him. because he is Mahabhagavat. We cannot imitate him. We should follow his instruction. We should not follow his lifestyle. We cannot do it. Bhaktivinoda Thakur used to sleep at 7:30 at night and used to get up at 10 o'clock. And I was giving a lecture to the youth and they were very happy to hear that. Prabhuji, 7:30 to 10 o'clock, long sleep? He said, not 10 o'clock in the morning. He used to get up 10 o'clock at night. Then they got depressed. So 10 o'clock he used to get up and 10 to 4 he used to write books. So that is called the level of Mahabhagavat. We cannot imitate them, but we should learn, lesson from them, that when we reduce the practical activities of Krishna consciousness and doing bhajan, then we have to reduce our bhajan also. If bhajan increases, bhajan should decrease. Bhajan and bhajan is opposite to each other. Prabhupada said that symptom of spiritual advancement is the tendency to eat and tendency to sleep will reduce. That is the symptom of advancement in Krishna consciousness. Doesn't come automatically, it cannot be done by imitation. It will happen only we develop the taste in Krishna consciousness. So we should not artificially try to be very austere and land up in some abominable activities. And that happened in the past, that's happening in the present moment, and that will happen also in the future. Because we should act according to our level. So this is called third level. Time is going away. So last level. The fourth level is more advanced level. And that is exhibited by Kunti Devi. So Kunti Devi not only thank God, she prayed to the Lord, my dear Lord, please give those miseries again and again. We have to have really advanced to pray like that. How many of us, we come to the Lord, my dear Lord, please give me miseries. I don't know, maybe somebody will be there in Vrindavan Dham. But it's very, very advanced prayer. And people may think, she is not so intelligent. She is the most intelligent lady. Because she knows what is misery. Misery means any activity without Krishna is misery. And anything with Krishna is pleasure. That is Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada said, anything minus Krishna is material platform. Anything plus Krishna is Krishna consciousness. So Kunti Devi was not praying theoretically. Sometimes we pray theoretically, please miseries you give. She went through those miseries. What kind of miseries she had? She lost as a lady, as a Mataji. She lost her husband. She became widow. For a lady to become widow is very difficult. Nowadays is not a problem, but normally for a lady to become widow is difficult. Then she lost her son, Karna. Then she lost her father, lost her husband, lost her son, Karna. Then she lost her grandchildren, 5 sons of Draupadi. So all 4 generation left. She continued. Then her sons were in exile in the forest. Their sons were conspired to be killed. All kinds of things, whatever misery you can expect, the climax of miseries happened in the life of Kunti Devi along with the Pandavas. And that Mataji, that lady, Kunti Devi, is praying to the Supreme Personality of God at Krishna, my dear Lord, all those miseries were wonderful. Why? Because you are there. When Krishna will be there, no miseries will affect us. We'll go through that miseries. That is the faith of Krishna consciousness. And Kunti Devi had that faith, that if miseries are there, then you'll be there. But now my son has become the king, the emperor of the whole world, but you are leaving us. So what is the use of this kingdom? So for Kunti Devi, the kingdom and the forest is the same. For her, there is no difference. But for her, it made a lot of difference if Krishna is there or not. For a devotee going to the hell or heaven, Having kingdom or no kingdom is not a problem. But if Krishna is not there, it's a problem for them. That's why they only pray for Krishna's presence. And Kunti Devi saw that when they are in calamities, Krishna was there. And when they are in good time, Krishna was not there. Therefore, Kunti Devi prayed for the calamities, because calamities attracts the attention of the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore, we have to be prepared voluntarily to be in the difficult situation like the Goswamis did. Because Krishna says in Srimad Bhagavatam, when I am pleased with someone, very dangerous. If Krishna is very pleased, it is very dangerous. If Krishna is pleased with someone, specially pleased, he takes away all your material possessions, whatever you have. So Goswamis, they are realized soul, they thought, why to give Krishna trouble, to take away? They already gave everything away. Nothing to take away. So therefore, we should be internally detached. If you are a Grihastha, you can have wealth, other possessions, but you should be completely detached. Because if Krishna takes away, that will give you pain if you are attached. But when you don't have attachment, that will not give you pain. Like Parikshit Maharaj, when he was cursed to die, he was not affected because he was not attached to his kingdom. Immediately gave up and took shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam and Sukadeva Goswami. And in 7 days perfected his life and went back home, back to Godhead. So that is the lesson we are learning from this, that a person doing fruitive activities will go through the trouble, but that trouble will give him miseries, anxiety, and take away their spiritual life. But for a devotee, he may also go through a lot of difficulties and challenges in his life, but that challenges will bring him closer to Krishna, and they will be always in bliss amidst all calamities of life. That is the beauty of Krishna consciousness, and that is the unique nature and greatness of the pure devotees of Krishna. So that is the essence of the verse today. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So any question or comment, if you have any?
We also have positions like our throat, your woman, myself, in our heart. And how, what is the mechanism of Krishna takes away these things?
Okay. So you heard the question? He is asking that Krishna told that when he is pleased with someone, he takes away all his possession. Then when Krishna will take away our internal possessions, like 6 anarthas within. So when he will be pleased with us, he will be more pleased. That accumulation doesn't mean only external accumulation. Accumulation also means we accumulate. External is a reflection of the internal. Attachment is not external thing. When you are attached within, then we accumulate. Right? So Krishna takes away both. Sometimes if you don't have external, then nothing to take away. Then he takes away internal. So first is external, second is internal. And if you give up both, then nothing to take away. Just like Goswamis, they gave away externals, and they are also gave away internally. Completely surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For us, brahmacharis, sannyasis, supposed to don't have any externals, but we have internal. So we should pray to the Lord that internal enemies also should be killed. Just like our Nrisimhadev killed Hiranyakashipu. So Hiranyakashipu is within. So that Hiranyakashipu can be killed by Nrisimhadev only. So we have to pray to invite the Lord to kill. Unless we invite, how we can kill? We have to invite and pray. When we sincerely pray, then definitely Krishna will help us to take away our material, internal attachments. Okay? And we have to do our part also. We have to do our sadhana. We have to do our part and Krishna will do his part. When both are combined together, then it will happen. But when it will happen, that we don't know. So Subhak Maharaj asked Prabhupada, Prabhupada, when my last will go away? Prabhupada said, never. So he was depressed with the answer. Then after some time again he asked the same question, Prabhupada, Prabhupada, when my last will go away? Prabhupada said, looking at him in a very grave way, he said, Govinda Ichha. When Krishna will desire, that day it will go away. Means, we have to try our own part, at the same time we have to depend on the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When both are combined, then that will go away. Till that, we have to tolerate and continue our spiritual life. Okay? So we'll end here. Gantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai Gaur Prema Anande, Hari Hari Bo.